All right. Well, glory. Amen. Welcome, welcome. I hope everybody had as merry a Christmas as I did. I struggle a lot at Christmas time. Christmas isn't all that great of a time for me most often, but this year I had a great, great Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, these allergies are going to kill me before it's over with. Well, glory. Let's just get on with it. Today I'm going to finish up our series on the armor today. And interestingly enough, we're going to talk about the power of prayer. Amen? Listen, you can't win a battle if you're not praying. You can't win the battle if we're not praying. Prayer literally is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to wear the armor and to wield the sword. Amen? So, Father, this morning I pray, God, that everything that is a distraction to me right now, Lord, would just be gone. God, I pray that we would be able to focus on You and focus on Your Word and focus on Your Spirit today, as we close out this series on the armor. Lord, I pray for each one seated here today and everyone watching by way of the internet, that, Lord, that we would be able to receive from You all that You have for us. And so, Lord, I thank You for that, and I give You all the glory and the honor in advance, God, for all that You're doing right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. How many of you know that prayer changes stuff?
Amen.
Amen. We've seen prayer. We've seen because of prayer, people, I believe, get healed, set free, delivered. Provision has been made. All those kinds of things. And again, let me just reiterate this, that prayer is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to wear the armor and to wield the sword. So we have to understand today that we cannot fight the battle in our own power. We cannot fight the battle in our own power. No matter how strong, no matter how talented we might think that we are, we cannot do it in our own power. And one of the great illustrations of this is when Amalek attacked Israel and Moses went up on the mountaintop to pray. There's some things that I find extremely interesting in this story. As Moses goes to the mountaintop, and he sends Joshua to the battle. Amen. Moses goes to the mountaintop to pray, sends Joshua to the battle down in the valley. And according to Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, you can find that. But it took both. It took someone going to the battle, and it took someone else to be interceding in prayer. Listen, if there's I don't think there's much of a greater illustration really for the reality that as the pastor, I need your prayers.
Amen.
Amen. As I'm sitting in my house and I'm trying to prepare a message to that I believe God would have me present to you and to all those that are watching, I need your prayers. I need your intercession. And that's the way it was with Moses. It took Moses praying, interceding for Joshua to win the battle. And it's interesting that it takes them both. And Moses is interceding on the mountain, and Joshua is in the valley using the sword. But the interesting thing is that while Moses was on the mountaintop, he wasn't by himself. He took with him Aaron and Hur. And every time that the hands of Moses would begin to droop and begin to go down, the battle would switch and the Amalekites would begin to take the upper hand. They would begin to win. But when Moses would get his hands back up, the army of Israel would advance and they would take the battle. And so Aaron and Hur, one, they put a rock down and Moses would sit on the rock, and Aaron and Hur held the arms of Moses in the air, literally giving him the support and the victory that was needed because of the prayer on the hill. And so it's a picture of the importance of not only intercession, but someone to help him. Look at Jesus when he went to the garden. He asked his closest guys, I want you to go and tarry with me just for an hour. They shut their eyes and went right to sleep. Amen. Well, listen, we've got, in this day that we live in today, church, we've got to have our eyes open. Amen. We need somebody to pray with us. Prayer is the power for victory, but not just any kind of prayer. And we're going to look at how Paul would tell how to pray if we want to defeat the enemy. And the soldiers enter the conflict fully dressed and armed, but something else is essential. You need to have confidence and assurance, and you have to have courage. Listen, if you go into the battle feeling like or believing that you're going to be defeated, I got a news flash for you. You're probably going to get your hind end kicked. Amen? There is something that of power that I believe is released in the heavenly when you go into your battle with a determination, with a knowing, with something that says, hey, I'm going to win this battle. Amen? But we've got to have it to enter the conflict fully dressed and fully armed, but also having confidence. And it comes from a spirit of prayer. It comes from a spirit of prayer. I'm reminded of a football team back in the Midwest that they played, and they lost every game that they played. And there was a car dealership in town, and the owner of the car dealership went to the football team and he said, "Listen, to all of you seniors that are graduating, this is your last year. This is your last game. And if you win this game, to every senior on the football team, we're going to give you from our dealership a brand new car," thinking that it would be the motivating factor that football team would for once win a game. And so they went, they were all fired up, and they went out there and they played the game and they lost. Listen, you can't just be offered some great reward if you'll do something. There's got to be something happening beforehand. And when we go in and we face a giant, when we face a battle, when we face the enemy, if we haven't prayed beforehand, just going in and saying, okay, God, help me in this battle, don't think for a moment that you're going to come out of there without some battle scars. If not completely defeated. Prayer is something that we have to do in advance. Prayer is something we've got to do all the time. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Amen? So it comes from a spirit of prayer. I want to look at several different types of prayer this morning in closing and wrapping up this series on the armor. In Ephesians again 6 and 18, it says, praying always. That's a key. Okay, that's a key. Don't miss that. Praying always with all prayer. What do you think that means, all prayer? Well, it lends to the idea that there's more than just one kind of prayer. So pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. How many of you know you cannot be watchful with your eyes closed? I'm just trying to help you this morning. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Do I need to define for you again today my definition of perseverance? Perseverance is like wrestling with a gorilla. You don't quit when you get tired, you quit when the gorilla gets tired. It's called perseverance. So we have to persevere. And then supplication for all the saints. So this verse, although not naming another weapon in the believer's army, does continue the thought from verse 17. Praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit helps us when we pray. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8 here in just a little bit and begin to unwrap some of this. Praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit helps us when we pray. The Spirit prays on our behalf, church. And the Spirit makes God acceptable, or accessible rather. The Spirit gives us confidence when we pray. Most of this comes from Romans in the 8th chapter, also from Galatians 4 and 6. But He inspires and He guides us when we pray. He helps us to communicate with God and also brings God's response to us. So let's look real quick at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and verse 27. 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So God is concerned about the trials of His people. God is concerned about what you're going through. God is concerned about what you're facing. We have seen in these last number of weeks, we've seen God show up and answer prayer on different ones' behalf. Amen? We've seen it. We've seen you provided with a home in these last weeks because of prayer. We've seen the hand of God in Carolyn's life as she had surgery and this cancer and what. And we're believing God through prayer for Debbie and for different ones that God's just going to show up and do something great. Why? Because we believe that God's concerned about His people. And in the same way that our hope gives us fortitude, the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress. Amen. He helps us in our distress. At times our weaknesses are so intense that we don't even know what we should pray for or how we should even pray. Church, that's when the Holy Spirit steps in. Anybody besides the preacher ever been in a place, I don't even know how to pray anymore? Amen. In some ways, I'm kind of there right now. There are things that we are dealing with, things that we're facing, and then you're just like, man, I've prayed and prayed, and I don't know what to pray anymore. Holy Spirit, how am I supposed to pray? It's at those times, church, that the Spirit voices our requests for us. That's why being baptized in the Spirit is vital. Hallelujah. It's not just good, it's not just important, it's vital. The Holy Spirit intercedes by appealing to the only one that can help us, and that's God Himself. I can't call on my dad. I can't call on my mom. I can't call on my friend. I can't call on my leadership team. You just got to call on God. He's the only one, at the end of the day, He's the only one that can do for you what you need to have done. Period. You and I might not know what the right words are to say, but the Holy Spirit does. His groanings to God become effective intercession on your behalf and on mine. God can look deep into your heart, past our inarticulate groanings to understand the need that you and I face. He understands our hidden feelings. So even when we don't know the right words to pray, as we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, with and for us, He is always in harmony with God's own will. You ever been just praying and you just start making noise? I mean, you're just, oh. God can interpret that. Amen? You know why praying in the Spirit is so important? Because the devil don't know what you're saying. The devil don't know what you're saying, but God does. You might not even know what you're saying, but God does. God helps us when we pray. And when He does, we don't need to be afraid to come before Him. That's what Hebrews 4 and 16 talks about. That we can come boldly into the throne room of God. Listen, there are things the devil will tell you, don't even go in there. Don't go in there. I remember when I was a kid, we would test the temperature of my dad before we went in to ask for anything. Well, what's he doing? How's it look in there? How's it look? Because it was important to all that was going on. The outcome of what, listen, you don't have to do that when you go into, he says you can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help and mercy in your time of need. So the Spirit literally joins in to help you and I, expressing for us what we cannot fully express for ourselves. Isn't that amazing? So utilize all the forms of prayer that it takes. It takes, how about adoration? When was the last time you just sat and adored God for who He is, not for what He can do for you? Adoration. How about confession? Well, we in church don't like talking much about confession. Adoration, confession, petition. That's letting your requests be made known. How about thanksgiving and meditation? Listen, as we pray, we ought to trust the Spirit to make perfect what is imperfect. During prayer, we need to listen. That might come as a shock to some of us. I thought prayer was me communicating with God. That's true. And frankly, that's the way most men feel like communication is with their wife. It's us talking. Them just listening. How's that working for you? Communication is a two-sided street. We can confess, we can have adoration, confession, petition, thanksgiving, but listen, there comes a time when we need to shut up and listen to God. Amen. He said in Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." Listen. During prayer, we ought to ask the Spirit to search our heart and our mind, and then we ought to just be quiet and listen. Another thing you need to realize, besides listening during prayer, you need to know that practicing prayer should become a habit. Prayer isn't something that we should do when we find ourselves in trouble. Right? Prayer is something that we ought to do in the good times and in the bad time, and we need to combine prayer with other regular spiritual disciplines. We need to confess our sins. We need to confess the sins. When you're praying, have you ever been just praying and the Holy Spirit just brings something up? Like a spotlight? You need to talk to God about that. He already knows. He's not mad at you. He's just wanting you to get it off your chest. You ever just carried something around and carried it around and carried it around, and the more you carry it around, the bigger it gets? The heavier it becomes until finally one day you just let her fly. And then when you're done with that, you're like, well, I feel a lot lighter now. Don't let it become that big of a weight, because when you explode, it gets all over everybody else. Amen? So we need to keep those things on a short list. Confess the sins that the Holy Spirit points out. And because when He was ministering on earth, Jesus groaned when He saw what sin was doing to mankind. He groaned and He cried and He wept over the city. Today the Holy Spirit groans with you and I, and He feels the burdens of our weakness and our suffering. He knows what you're going through. He prays for you and I in His groaning so that we might be led into the will of God. We don't always know what God's will is. Amen? We don't always know. So what do? Just sit around till we figure it out? No. Start doing something. Start doing something, and God will show up and begin to lead and guide. We don't always know how to pray, but the Spirit steps in and He intercedes so that we might live in the will of God in spite of our suffering. Listen, just because you're going through a bad time don't mean you stop serving the Lord. If that was the case, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I'm just telling you the truth. If that was the case, if this ain't, look, oh, since I got saved, life has just been a box of chocolate. I haven't had problem one ever. It's been great. No problems. That's not the case. The scripture makes it clear the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to come. You know why? Because he lost you and he wants you back. He's going to fight for you. The enemy will fight for you. We cannot underestimate, listen, we cannot and must not underestimate Satan's forces. I mean, when you least expect it, he's coming for you. He will strike in different ways and at different times. But he will always be attacking someone. He will always be, especially the children of God. He will attack when you least expect it. And that's why, again, we need to stay alert. And we need to pray. And we need our prayer needs when they arise. Don't just put it off and say, well, if you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, and I do it all the time, I get these text messages from our prayer group. I see stuff on Facebook. Pray for this, pray for that. And you put on there, I'll pray, or I'm praying. You better pray right then. Because if you don't, something's going to come and distract you and you're going to forget about it. Pray right then. When you least expect it. So we need to stay alert to prayer needs. And when they arise, Satan will rarely let up if he thinks he can win the battle. He will not let up if he thinks he's winning. So as believers, you and I must be persistent in our prayer, no matter how long it takes. No believer is exempt from being Satan's target. He demands battle against the enemies. So all Christians everywhere need our prayer support. We need to pray with all prayer. The believer who prays only to ask for things is missing out on the blessing that comes with intercession and the giving of thanks. I'll tell you what, if you want to feel good about something, instead of just asking for stuff, we used to sing the song years ago, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. We don't sing that much anymore, but maybe we ought to. Because if you'll just stop for a moment and begin to take inventory of all the things that God has done for you, of all the things that God has blessed you with, of all those kinds of things, if we would just stop for a moment and say, God, I just want to give you thanks for this and for that and for the other thing. And you'll walk away from that experience going, man, I feel great. It's just true. So the fact is that thanksgiving is a great prayer weapon for defeating the enemy. Praise changes things as much as prayer changes things. When you begin to praise God, even in the midst of the battle, things look bad. It's raining down all kinds of whatever on you. And you just begin to praise God and begin to thank God for all the things you have. All of a sudden, things begin to change. All of a sudden, the heavenlies begin to switch. Interceding for others can bring victory to your own life. Listen to what Job said. Everybody likes to give Job a bad time. You ever notice that? Well, let me tell you what, when he interceded for his friends, look at what it says in Job chapter 42 and verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Because he prayed for his friends. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Another thing we need to do, church, as far as prayer is concerned, is we need to pray in the Spirit. The biblical formula is that we pray to the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27 again tells us that only in the Spirit's power can we pray in the will of God. Otherwise, our praying could be anybody ever prayed selfishly? Boy, ain't many hands going up today. Oh, not me.
Glory.
Yes. He knows the intents of your heart, church. Oh, boy. Sometimes we pray selfishly. And when we pray selfishly, we're probably praying outside of the will of God. Now listen, God knows what you desire. And how many of you know this? Having said all that, God wants to grant you the desires of your heart. That's His Word. He wants to grant you and I the desires of our heart. How many of us know how much easier it is for God to grant you the desires of your heart when your heart lines up with His will? So in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was this small golden altar standing before the veil, and it was there that the priest burned the incense. And the incense, as it was burning, was literally a picture of prayer. And it had to be mixed according to the plan that God had set out, and it could not be counterfeited by man. So the fire on the altar is a picture of the Holy Spirit. How's the Holy Spirit always portrayed? Or I guess it's not always portrayed, but one of the ways it's portrayed in the New Testament is through what? Fire. Through fire. So the fire on the altar here is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And it's He who takes our prayers and ignites them in the will of God. So it's possible to pray fervently in the flesh and never get through to God. I mean, you can pound your chest, you can do all those kinds of things, but you're praying in the flesh and it'll never get through to God. But it is also, church, possible to pray quietly in the Spirit and see God's hand do great and mighty things. Amen. It just happens that way. It's just the way it is. Pray, and I said this earlier, but we need to pray with our eyes open. Pray with your eyes open. To watch means to keep on the alert. The phrase watch and pray often occurs in the Bible. And when Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 9, was repairing the walls of Jerusalem and the enemy was trying to stop the work, Nehemiah defeated the enemy by watching and praying. He said, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch." They watched. Watch and pray is the secret of victory over the world, according to Mark 13 and 33. And it's the secret to victory over the flesh, according to Mark 14 and 38. And it's the secret of victory over the world and over the devil in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Amen? I can give you all these scripture references. If you want them, you can come see me. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 29 through 31, Peter went to sleep when he should have been praying. Jesus asked them to pray, and Peter went to sleep. And he should have been praying, and the result, because of his sleep, was a victory for the enemy. So God, church, expects us to use our God-given senses, led by the Spirit, so that we can defeat the enemy when he's beginning to work in our lives. He's trying to get a way in. We need to keep on praying. Just because you don't see the answer to your prayer today, keep praying. Keep praying. The word perseverance simply means to stick to it and not quit. Stick to it. Don't quit. The early believers prayed this way. You can read about it in Acts chapter 1 and 14. You can read about it in 2 and 42. You can read about it in chapter 6 and verse 4. And we also should pray this way according to Romans 12 and 12. So, perseverance in prayer doesn't mean that we're trying to twist the arm of God. You're not going to twist His arm. The reality is, it means that we are deeply concerned and burdened and cannot rest until we get God's answer. There are things, church, that we're going to be faced with when there's going to come a time when we're just going to have to figuratively, or spiritually rather, grab a hold of the horns of the altar and pray until something happens. Take the bull by the horns. That's right. Robert Law put it this way. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It's getting God's will done on earth. Amen. Most of us quit praying just before God is about to give the victory. Nobody can sincerely spend a whole night in prayer. Or not everybody, rather, can sincerely spend a whole night in prayer, but all of us can persevere in faith in prayer far more than we do. The early church prayed without ceasing, according to Acts chapter 12 in the first 19 verses, when Peter was in prison, and at the very last moment, God gave them their answer. We need to keep praying until the Spirit stops us or the Father answers us. Just about the time you feel like quitting church, that's when God's about to give you the answer. We need to pray for all the saints. Another way to pray is we need to pray for all the saints. The Lord's Prayer begins with our Father, not my Father. We're all in the family. Our Father. We pray as part of a great family that is also talking to God, and we ought to pray for the other members of the family. Even Paul asked for the prayer support of the Ephesians. Listen, if Paul needed the prayer of the saints, how much more do you and I need them? If my prayer helps another believer defeat the enemy, then that victory is going to help me too. How, you ask? I'll tell you, because it builds your faith. It builds your faith up. Paul didn't just ask for the people to pray for his comfort and his safety, but for the effectiveness of his witness and his ministry. That should be your prayer for me and my prayer for you. That God would help us to be effective in our witness and in our ministry. Not just the pulpit ministry, but the outside ministry. Amen. What's going on out in the streets? So the soldier's not in the battle alone. Many are engaged in the same kind of warfare. We're all in a battle. Every one of us are in a battle. The outcome of the battle is determined by the welfare of all involved. So it should encourage us to pray for one another. Every one of us need each other's prayer. The Christian soldier must pray for those who fight with him. I've heard it said, maybe if you've been in the military, you've heard this as well, but they say that in foxholes there aren't any atheists. Amen. And there aren't any strangers. When you're in a foxhole and you're in a battle, everybody's like, hey, buddy. Amen? That ought to be the way we are here in the church. The Christian soldier must pray as much and as intensely for his fellow soldiers as for himself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says this, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That was Paul. It's not armor or weapons that make the warrior. There must be courage and there must be strength. And even then, we often need help. One of my old cowboy heroes, John Wayne, he said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Paul didn't ask the Ephesians to pray that his chains would be removed, but that he would continue to speak fearlessly for Christ in spite of them. So God can use us in any circumstance to do His will. Even as we pray for a change in our circumstance, church, we should also pray that God will accomplish His plan through us right where we are. We're looking for a new building, church. You know that? I know that. We're expecting great things to happen. But you know what? In the process of all that, we need to be expecting great things to happen right here in this house. Right here in this concrete, cold building, we need to be believing that God's going to, and I believe He is. I absolutely believe He is. So we don't only pray for change in the circumstance, we're praying that God will accomplish His plan right where we are. Knowing God's eternal purpose for you and I will help us through difficult times. Amen? And we're going to face them. And church, I got news for you. It's going to get worse as the days go on. Scripture talks about it. And so we just got to be prayed up and we got to be ready for all that the enemy throws our way. Amen? I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need one another's prayers. And when we can't pray for ourselves and for each other, we need the Holy Ghost to step in and make our requests known unto God. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, help us today. Help us to understand how it is that prayer will change our lives. Help us to know and to understand Your perfect plan, Your perfect will for our lives. Help us to understand that prayer is our communication with Almighty God. Help us to understand that when we don't know how to pray, Your Holy Spirit is at work inside of us. And when we got nothing else to say but, oh! That's a sweet savor. That's a sweet noise. That's music in the ears of God. Lord, help us today. Help us, God, to understand everything that You have for Your people. God, I'm praying this morning for people that are in need of a physical touch in their body. Lord, I'm mindful of Debbie, of Carolyn, of different ones, Lord, that need Your touch, that need Your intervention, for Your healing virtue to flood them. Lord, I pray for our president today. God, we lift him up, Lord, through the battle, thick and thin. God, he has stood. He's not perfect. I'm not saying he's perfect. But the Word of God says that we're to pray for him. And Lord, we lift him up to You today. God, I pray for our country. God, we are one nation under God still, regardless of whether people want that to be the case or not. We are one nation under God. Lord, we stand upon Your principles. We stand upon the precepts of our forefathers. God, I pray for people to receive Jesus. Lord, there's no other way to make heaven their home than through the shed blood of Jesus, through confessing our sin, through saying, God, come into my heart and change me. God, I love You today. We need You today, Lord, like never before. So today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying, let me ask you this question. Are you here today? Do you need Jesus? Are you here today without Jesus? Do you not know, or do you know? Are you sure that if Jesus came for His church today, would you go to be with Him? That's the question of the day. If your answer is anything other than, I absolutely know, then you need today to have what I call no-so salvation. That's that you know that you know that you know. And you can have that today through Jesus. If you don't have absolute assurance that you're going to make heaven your home, and you want to, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you today. I want the question to be answered. I want you to have certainty in your heart today that no matter what, come what may, Jesus is taking me when my time comes. Maybe you're watching today by way of the internet, and you're having to face this same question. Do I know that I know that I know that Jesus would take me with Him? If you don't, you can. And I'm going to ask you, if that's you, just put us a note there on the comments and let us know. We want to pray with you. We want to believe God for you and with you. You just pray this prayer. Say, Dear Lord, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. If you prayed that prayer, I promise you that God heard that prayer. And God wants you to know today that He loves you. God wants you to know that He loves you and that He sent His Son to die on your behalf. Amen? Well, God bless you. God go with you. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. See the youth at 4 o'clock today. Youth group right here. It should be a great time on Wednesday night watching the video. I don't know what's on it. They have kept me out of that loop. So be here Wednesday night. We had a great time last Wednesday, and I believe for a great time this Wednesday. Amen? Pray for each other, church. Call somebody up that you don't see here today. Call them up and tell them, hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. Amen? God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for watching on the internet today. God bless.